The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Once again, welcome to the School of Prayer. I believe we're already being blessed. Amen.
Amen.
Because we're going to study the Word of God for a short while, as part of the second part of the prayer, let's take our declaration of understanding as we usually do. All right, are you ready for that? All right, do it like you are blessed. Want to let's go now, I declare. The Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. Is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. John said, I wish above all things that you will prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. We have established that is the will of God. Amen.
Amen.
That is the will of God.
Amen.
That is the will of God.
Amen.
Be it unto you according to your faith.
Amen.
One of the things Satan and the world tries to do is to persuade us to accept something less. You know, just like when our brother Jonathan was speaking a moment ago, and we're going to read that scripture again. Sometimes you get tired, so you settle for something less than God's will. This whole life is a war of attrition. It's who will get tired first. That's the idea. When they were going to the promised land, God could have removed the giants, but He didn't. He could have said, all right, angels, go ahead, clear out all the giants, and then you guys can move in. But He did not. What did He do? He made them fight the giants. He made them fight the giants. He wanted to know, do you really want the land? Do you get what I'm saying? That's what He wanted to know. Do you really want this land? Do you really want this land? What people get a lot of times is what they settle for. The last time we discussed that even though Esau did not have the blessing, and God, through the prophetic words of his father, had placed a blessing on Jacob, yet He put a clause that if Esau is tired, he can be free. He can become restless. And when he's become restless, he will refuse this bondage. He will refuse this servitude. He will refuse being a second-class citizen. He will refuse the affliction. It can get to that point. You know, having read through the scriptures, I realize that God is very just. God is very just. See, get your Bible. What did I say? And read it. Very important. Use it to form expectation for your life. Use it to form the desires of your life. Use it to form the direction of your life. That is what faith is. By faith, we understand. Faith is not desire. It's not to get like, hey, no. That's not what faith is. It's not ogboju. What is the English word for ogboju? Bold face, have you? It's not stubbornness. It's not determination. Faith is discovery. What did I say? Faith is discovery. When you discover God's word, you know, nobody told Paul that Paul the apostle, nobody told him to believe. Nobody came to him and said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Do you want to give your life to Christ? No. Did anybody tell him that? What happened? He saw Jesus. There's no time. We didn't hear the time he gave his life to Christ. All he did was what? He saw the Lord. Once he saw the Lord, faith was born in his heart. As soon as he saw the Lord, faith was born. Faith was born. We struggle for faith because we don't see. And one major reason we don't see is because we don't pay attention. You hear what I said? One major reason we don't see is that we don't pay attention. It's a major reason why we don't see. Elijah was living. And he asked Elisha, what do you want me to do for you? Ask me for anything. You know, I remember one of our brothers in school those days. He had this beautiful Bible. Beautiful, very lovely Bible. New American Standard version. This one was very beautiful. He was a great giver. I asked him to give me. He said no. So we were in school together. We were going to fellowship. We were in the same fellowship. And then one day he was going to graduate. On the same level, but because his course was 4 years, mine was 6 years. So I was going to be in school 2 years after he would have left. So we're in his room, just relaxing. He said, okay, Banky, look at all my things. Anyone you want, just point to it so I'll give it to you. He had very nice clothes. He had good shirts, good trousers, good shoes. I did not even think. As soon as he mistakenly opened his mouth, I asked for the Bible again. That's how John the Baptist lost his head. Remember? Herod went and promised. Asked for anything. That was why he lost his Bible. I had a Bible for a very long time. I think maybe 10 years later, I still had the Bible. He thought I still had it. Where am I going? Elijah was going. He asked Elijah, what do you want me to do for you? You know, it's what you have been thinking about.
Yes, sir.
It's what you value. A lot of people say, lay hands on me, make me a millionaire. That's what they will say. No, Elisha didn't say that. Elisha said, whatever anointing you have, sir, I've seen it work. I want a double portion of it. Basically, well, I've had two different interpretations of that. Some just say, multiply it times two. Well, some say, no, double portion is a lot of the firstborn. So if you break the inheritance down, you give him twice as much as everybody else. But basically, Elisha was saying, what I want is to be the main prophet after you. Even though we know the anointing upon him was doubled. But where I'm going, how did he get it? Elijah said, what you have asked for is what? It's a hard thing. So I said, bless my inheritance. Lay your hands on me so my children will be blessed. I would have done that easily. You see me do things. But that you get double portion of this anointing is hard. Elisha said, that was what you said I should ask. Anything I want. This is what I want. Elijah looked and said, what do we do to Elisha? All right, let's see how badly he wants it. He said, if you see me when I'm taking up, it's yours. If you don't see me, you won't get it. Elisha said, no problem. That's all. That's all. Good. Do you know then distraction started? We heard that your master is going to be taken away from you today. That's the sons of the prophets. He said, thank you. CNN. Calamity News Network. You heard, Abby? So what am I supposed to do? He said, hold your peace. They went to a number of places. Bethel, Gilgal. What's the third place they went to? No, they went to Jericho. Yes. They got to that river. Elijah brought his mantle, struck it. The water parted. The two men passed. Oh, so many distractions. But there was one key. If you see me as I'm going, the last distraction, many people fail it until you've tested them about it. Teachers go to school and teach children what is wrong. How did Elijah go to heaven? Chariots of fire. You see them even draw it in pictures. Chariots of fire carrying Elijah to heaven. Elijah said, that was not me. Because the chariot of fire came to separate them. Elijah actually went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Some people say, are you sure? They are opening their Bible now as we are talking. But you know the truth? God wanted to test his ability to focus. Some people, you know, as soon as the chariots of fire will come, whoa! Check that out. Damn! Chariot from heaven. Elijah don't go. They are looking at chariots. The chariots came. Elisha said, lie. He kept his eyes focused on Elijah. I imagine that Elijah said, I want to go and pee. Or God said, me too, I want to pee. You want to stand where your guy is peeing? Okay, I'll keep my eyes like this. I'll be looking at your head. I'm not going to look down. As for Elisha himself, there was no time he wanted to pee. Now, let me tell you the truth. If the pee held him so badly, you know what he would do? He would pee on himself. What kind of thing is that? So that when I'm peeing, you will disappear. Now, some person, they take loose inheritance now. Go and read your Bible, eh? The Bible wants to check how much you value something. What we don't see is that we don't pay attention. That's why I keep on telling people, you come to a point of a Bible study and you tell somebody to call you. Then you leave your phone on vibrate. You are listening to the message. Then it rings. Then you get up and go. See, there's a story we learned from Kenneth Hagin. He said the Lord appeared to him in a vision. I was teaching him how to handle demons. And a demon came, jumped between them. Now, the part of the story that's interesting is that the Lord kept talking like nothing happened. That thing scared me. It scares me till today. It puts the fear of God in me. I mean, me and you are talking. And then they start making noise. Bang, 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 bang. And they are in between also. And I keep on talking as if you are hearing everything I'm saying. It did not pause. He said it was in desperation that he cast out that demon. Let's not talk about that in details. Let's just stick with the point I want to get across. He said that thing the Lord said, he never repeated it. Years later, this thing was still on his mind. One day I listened to one of his messages. As he was talking, suddenly he paused. He said, oh, I think I get it now. This may be like 20 years after. He said, what the Lord said in that interval, he never got it. When I heard that, yeah, you know they call fear. I became afraid. Didn't the Lord hear, notice I didn't get? I did. Why didn't you repeat what he was supposed to hear? Let's not go into details about why. He was supposed to hear. Why didn't he hear? He was distracted. By what? You are the one calling it demon. God called it distraction. It's your fault. Why is distraction there? Why do we strategize for distraction? When I was a student, because of faith, we couldn't, of course, righteousness, faith and righteousness, we could not participate in exam malpractice. Number one, I will not ask you a question in class. That one, even if you put only me in the bush, I won't ask you. But then I didn't want anybody to ask me. So you know what I did? I sat in front. Once you are in front, you are an invigilator. Are you getting my point? There was no, see, I didn't want to be arguing or fighting with anybody on you are preaching love, you can't help me, you know. I didn't want those arguments. So every exam I sat in front. That is, unless they chose the seat. Some they would have put your number where you're supposed to go. You're supposed to go in the particular. If they allowed us to enter the way we liked, I came and sat in. Don't worry, nobody's struggling with you for the front seat. And I was president of my fellowship at a point in time towards my latter days in school. And we had a vice chancellor that was very tough. The first female vice chancellor in Africa. That's who she was. She passed on, maybe I think last year or the year before. Yes. That woman was tough. The woman said, you won't do cultism in my school. She meant it. She meant it. I would not tolerate exam malpractice. She meant it. And she dealt harshly with anybody that crossed her path, including lecturers. As a lecturer, if you tried her, the kind of pepper she will show you, you will think you are growing in the garden. So where am I going? So I came to fellowship and warned everybody. Our fellowship was sat in front in exams. By the instruction of this guy, I told everybody, go to class and sit in front. Because if my VC caught you, you are going home for 2 years. If you greet somebody in exam for 2 years, you are going home. Exam is going to tell you over half an hour, you shake hand, and lecturer catches you and gives that slip of paper to write a report. That's it. You've gone home 2 years. So how did we solve it? I warned everybody, sit in front. That's exam, human exam. University. Yet, when it is the word of God, you know what we like to do? Sit at the back so we can go out anytime. Let me tell you the truth. If you treat God's word as seriously as we teach investment in useless things like Bitcoin, we will prosper. We will prosper. You know WhatsApp channels? WhatsApp channels. I found out most of them are accursed. Most of WhatsApp channels around. You know what they are selling? All they are doing? Advertising what? Betting. And people, you know? And you say, who to follow? So occasionally you click on, why should I follow this person? Hey, you have come to the right place. Bet your life away. Now, well, if these people pay attention, Woman of God was telling me yesterday about one case he's handling. They gave somebody money to hold. He said, let me quickly multiply it. He wanted to quickly multiply it. We came to the conclusion that the guy was under a demonic attack. It had to be demonic. Now, so he carried the money, of course, all the money disappeared. So he borrowed more money to try and get back the ones that disappeared. Oh, Satan. Satan was working on the matter. He had about 15 demons more wicked than himself. People paying attention to nonsense. That's where I'm going. Paying attention to nonsense. If we pay attention to God's word, we'll experience the power inside it. And the testimony of one woman that was born with a deformed foot. She listened to a series of messages for 6 months. Then one day she got up in the morning, the foot was normal. 6 months on like 4 tapes or 5. 6 months every day. Finish one, go back to it, the next one. Go to the next one. When you finish the last one, go back to the first one. You know why we don't see? See, faith is what we see. They didn't have to tell Saul of Tarsus, Paul the apostle, the same person, give your life to Christ. So the day he saw Jesus, he had given his life to Christ. That was his life. That is, sin was given. You know, they say sin is believing. His own sin was given. As soon as he saw him, he knew it was the Lord. You are alive. He didn't say, give your life to Christ. No. He said, what must I do? He said, come. It will be told to you what to do. Go there. There was no time. They said, do you want to give your life to Christ? If you want to see, we pay attention. That's why I said, grab your Bible. Read it daily. Can I say something? Sorry. Those of you pray in tongues a lot is good, though. Amen? But pray in English for a while. So you can know the scriptures that, let's know the one you know. That's my own. I'm not saying praying in tongues. In fact, I heard somebody singing just now on Kingdom World Radio. One of the music tracks we're playing. Junior is just high laughing. Because when he saw my face, I asked him, are these tongues of men or tongues of angel? He said, na Kenya language. I said, is it human language? It didn't sound like it at all. So I don't have anything against. That's the point I'm making. I believe in tongues of men and tongues of angels. But I found a lot of Christians hide their ignorance behind the fact that they can speak in tongues. What did the word of God, or what does the word of God say about health in old age? There's one woman I knew. She was a nurse in my hospital when I was a house officer. One day she was reading her scriptures. And she discovered something about, if you read Teremiah's, Jachimai's supernatural childbirth, something like that. She discovered something about scripture. And just to herself, no, there's no reason why she should have pain in childbirth. And she was pregnant. And she had that child without feeling. She just felt, she's a nurse. All she just felt was tightening. Did not feel, nothing. All the scream, no. Just felt tightening a bit. She told her husband that she thinks she's in labor. The man said, are you sure? So I think when she got to the hospital, they were shocked at how advanced she had gone. She said the only time she felt a little bit of pain was when the baby's head crowned. That's what they call crowning. She just felt a bit, not anything, but all the way, just some tight. Why? Revelation. It was revelation. It wasn't training, no. She encountered the word. The word gave her a picture. Once she saw that picture, I remember that time before my wife conceived and gave birth to her, I think it was Akindu. Anyway, one day we saw a picture. A baby was in the hand. A woman was praying. It was the hand of God. And the hand came and handed the woman the baby. So this is a gift too. That was the revelation. It's a gift too. There's no trick. There's no timing. There's no method. It's a gift. If you follow me on WhatsApp channels, I posted one a few days ago that learned to ask God for gifts. There's nothing in this life that you deserve. If you like it, go and just kneel down and say, Father God, I have a very big God. First sing for him so that he will laugh. You're not trying to hype him. You just want to play in the presence of the Father. Say, my father is rich, he has plenty. Say, so what do you want? These babies that you are giving, I'll give me two. Can you handle two? You go give me grace. Now so, there's no law. See, I look back over my life and I've seen some dramatic results to prayer. Do you know what? They were not difficult prayers. They were intense, but they were not, they were, Abba God, help your guy. That's all. See, let me say something here. Go and read your Bible. There's never a time, go and read your Bible. That somebody received answer to prayer and it took long for God to agree. No, just tell me, I thought about it. I was praying about something some time ago. So I said, God, but you don't take long to persuade though. Why are we on this matter for weeks? The only time people stay for a long time is when they want to get instruction and direction. And God wants to calm them down. Sit down here. Sit down here till I come back. Tarry in Jerusalem. Not for me to agree to talk to you. Or to answer your prayer. God was angry, boiling over with wrath. I would destroy these people. Moses said no. That conversation didn't last more than 5 minutes. If you kill them now, they will say that, please, now I beg you. Okay. Amos saw, he saw God preparing a swarm of locusts to attack the harvest in Israel. And he said, God, please, how will Israel survive? She's so small. He's so small. And God said, okay, I won't do it. There was no long, hey, Father, Amos, are they come, God? You're not going to destroy Israel? No. 3 days later, no, Lord. No, Lord. No. One man prayed once. I don't like many of his messages. I would have given you his name. But this one he said very true. So one day he prayed and said, Lord, why does it take so long to answer prayer? Because I know you answer quickly. God said, all that prayer that you are praying is you are attacking your own belief. It's not my answer that's the problem. And that's why I preached the series that time, the fight against unbelief. That you have to all this long talk. It's unbelief. If unbelief was not the problem, this prayer wouldn't be long. Please, what am I preaching to us today? See, like I said, get to know your scriptures. Form your expectations from the word of God. What life tries to do is to pollute your faith. That man of God said that, look, you ask for something on day one, you pray for 4 weeks. The four weeks prayer is unbelief that has been tackled. You're not bringing God more arguments. I have found that you cannot persuade God if he doesn't want to be persuaded. It's not the length of prayer that changes his mind. It does not change his mind. Go and read, Israel will call a holy convocation. Do you know how long it took God to forgive Nineveh? How long? Who can tell me? Eh? It was one day. That day now, the king called everybody. That was the end of it. God had changed his mind. You know the truth, because God never likes anybody to perish. As soon as they just called a holy convocation, repentance, everybody, before they finish the praying, God don't forgive, finish. It was what's his name? Jonah. That was the vexing. Now, it was Jonah that was counting the days. 39 days, he was there waiting for something to happen. Nothing happened. And he became angry. God is not hard to persuade. And it is not the amount of scriptures you use to argue against him. You know that scripture we used to quote from Isaiah, King James? Bring forth your case. Argue as if you are, you're strong. You now sit down there 3 days. Appeal court. Yeah, they argue with the Lord. So, my Lord, according to Psalm 15, the constitution of the heavens and the earth, it says, God is looking like this boy. If you want to get into argument, do you think you can win? I just bring one apprentice angel to talk to you and you will lose this case. No, we misread that scripture. We do. You know why you need to know God's word? You need to know what he wants you to ask. Because he says, it's not everything you can ask God for. There are things he says, no, leave it. I won't grant you faith to do it. That's it. There are things. So you read the scripture, say, this I will allow the house of Israel to ask me to do for them. So you have to read your scriptures to know that these are the things he has granted. They are the only ones we can ask him to do. Do you get my point? Those are the things you ask. So that's why you discipline yourself to know the scripture, so you form your prayer points. And once you have formed ideas from the knowledge of scriptures, don't let the earth, Satan, the world change your mind. You know what I found about the world? They change their mind all the time. One of our brothers, I mean, is a surgeon, sent me one article long ago. I lost it. I would say, if I asked him recently whether he could find it, say he too couldn't find it. That the rate at which science, you know, those of you who want to make God out of science, you know your problem? Ignorance. You don't follow them enough. If you follow science enough, you just enjoy the ride. They are as inconsistent as the weather. Yeah, that's not a joke. I can give you a short one. As of 60 years ago, they believed that this observable universe that we have, it's been there forever. It doesn't have a beginning, it doesn't have an end. Less than 70 years ago. It's about 60 years. It's just less than 70 years. They told us that the observable universe was static, was been there eternally, does not have a beginning, does not have an end. Along the line, some men began to observe. They say it's expanding. If it's expanding, we can plot the graph backwards. There was a time it started. They call it the Big Bang Theory. Good, it's fine. Then after a while, Albert Einstein says something. Albert Einstein, there was something he noticed and said, I jumped one step. Albert Einstein said that he wrote some theories, and by his calculation, mathematical calculations, he said the universe must be expanding. So they looked at the telescopes they had. They said, but it's not expanding. So he modified his calculations and put what they call a cosmological constant. Put a K to explain why it's not expanding. Then one day they built powerful telescopes. They analyzed the images and said, it is expanding. Then he said, the greatest mistake of my scientific life was that cosmological constant I inserted into my calculations. I should have known and stuck by my calculations. Hey, they say, he's intelligent man. As a few years ago, because it's expanding, the rate of expansion should be slowing down. They found out that the rate of expansion is increasing. And just a few years ago, and I saw it this year, they said the cosmological constant was not a mistake, even though Albert Einstein made a mistake. I know you are confused. It's okay. So let's leave it like that. I still saw Neil deGrasse Tyson explaining it the other day. That the man he thought he made a mistake, but actually now they have reintroduced something like it. Every time they launch new telescopes, they write a lot of theories. Saw a video, analysis of old people. They said now we have to rethink. A neurologist was talking. We have to rethink everything we thought we knew. Did you hear what I said? Because they say if you have this and this, you have Alzheimer's disease, you forget. One man had everything, didn't forget anything. Then one woman had nothing and forgot everything. So they say, what is now causing it? You say, the summary, we don't know. Why am I saying all of these things? Stick with the word of God. This is why the Bible tells us the word of God abides what? Forever. All flesh is grass. All medical science, grass. I hope you're getting my point. See, take scriptures. When I was in university, they taught us about the problems of having too many children. That if once you have 4 children is enough. If you have the 5th one, voila, they start. By the time you get number 7, number 8, you are looking for problems. Then one day I was serving my NYSC. A woman came in to the clinic. So it's what we call clerking. You have to take the history, talk to the patient, know part of the things you do. What they call family and social history. All right, you're married? Yes. You have children? Yes. How many? The woman said, 11. I raised my head. What did you say? How many children do you have? Calmly said, 11. Anyone twins? No. I was looking at the woman. That woman could easily find another husband if she wanted. Yeah, she didn't look like she's had 11 children. I said, what? I said, those who lied to me in school. Those who lied to me in school. There was nothing wrong with this woman. Then one day, I was in Lagos now. I finished NYSC. So one of my guys, my senior, he said they went to amongst the Jews and found people were having 12, 13 children. And they were so normal. What they told us before was a problem. They now found out that it's not a problem. I didn't remember the guy talking to me. That they don't understand why. Because he's a specialist gynecologist. So we're saying studies that they've done, and they've now found, they say, amongst a particular group, that these girls have 12 children routinely. And all the problems they had prophesied will come into her life, only went into the lives of her enemies. You know, some people will take problems of poverty and call it another thing. So me, I don't believe in all that nonsense. You know why? The Bible, people argue with me. Say the Bible says children are heritage of the Lord. It depends on the size of your quiver. I say, how do you know? Don't be stupid. Do you know? Be arguing with you. When the world has lied to you, they've lied and lied and lied. That the one that is blessed, the one that has 1.2 children. Whatever 1.2 means, I don't know. We grew up thinking that anytime a white man does something, it is good. When a man does something in his apostate, backsliding state, I have a new rule. Once you undermine scripture, you are wrong. I don't care what they want to say, you are wrong. Once you undermine scripture, you are wrong. You are very wrong. You are very wrong. You are wrong. There is no need for discussion. I'll just be looking at you like, as you are explaining yourself, you'll be looking like that guy is lying. So how do you know he's lying? The Bible says one thing, says the other. It said, children are the heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. It is a blessing to have a quiver that is full. You can talk from now till tomorrow. I don't have time to argue with you. How will you take care of them? Did I write that portion? Go and meet the writer of that portion. You will find out how we take care of them. Don't come and undermine scripture for me. You know, we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He said, for this cause, many are sick. Many are weak and are sick amongst you. And some sleep. Now, what does that tell you? There's a way Christians misbehave, they become sick. Yeah. Now, that was talking specifically about communion, all right? But look, if you read in between the lines, you know it's more than communion. It's more. Some of you will be arguing anyhow against the power of God. Because you are looking for prostate problem later. Yeah. You don't know. You know, let me tell you something about seeds. When you plant seed now, you know when it will germinate? You don't know. Before it bears fruit, eh? Okay, what I mean by you don't know is that it depends on the kind of plant. You can't predict. Just because it was planted. Some seeds people are planting now. It's not corn. It's not corn. Some seeds you are planting now, eh? Is the first leaf you see it in 2 years. The fruit is 8 years. Some of them are palm tree. You go and plant at the age of 25. What you come and fight you at the age of 52. And what is it you planted? God says something. You say, I bet, let me hear. Get away, Joe. Like one guy told me, I said, suppose you're a Christian. You don't believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. He said, it has nothing to do with my faith. I said, you don't believe. Yeah. I told him he doesn't believe. See, these are statements you make. I said, the day you seek, there will be no healing for you. There can't be. How can there be? Some people are going to church, they don't believe a virgin can give birth to Jesus Christ. And they are going to church. Some of them are ordained. They are ordained. They pour oil on their head and call them reverend. Irreverent human beings like this. See, God said, you are sowing a seed that says, I can't do anything miraculous in your life. You have said, if there's no medical explanation, it does not work. And so, live like that. No. See, a lot of times in life, what we are just sowing, we are doing is sowing rubbish seeds up and down. We are sowing rubbish seeds. You sit and argue. There are people that try to make sense out of everything. That there must be a medical explanation. God says, see, eh? God will show them one that there's no medical explanation. For example, there's a man in the Bible. He was born blind. Jesus took clay, spat inside the clay, rubbed it together, and made putty and put on his eyes. And he told the man, go to the pool of Siloam and go and wash. And the man came back saying, the man said, see, it depends on how that story was written. Actually, some of those people documented fables. Because you see, what Luke did, a man like Luke, was to investigate. He heard stories. So those stories, there was no credibility to them. Jesus said, no problem. I'm waiting for you in front. One man, I read the book on theology. Theology book. He said, Jesus multiplied food for 5,000. He said, actually what Jesus did was to persuade people. He said, Jews to go around with basket of extra supplies. So when a lot of people were hungry, because of his charisma and his leadership, he persuaded them to share. So what happened was 5,000 people share with another 5,000. I read in the theology textbook. Yeah, I did. I said, because this one, don't worry. Lack is waiting for you in front. I will never, that even if I wanted to, you tied my hands, that God does not do miracles, there's no problem. Yes. There are people who read scriptures. They just try. I said, Jesus said, okay. You know, there are times you just insult. Later, along the line, as we go, we'll talk about pride. Let me tell you one of the manifestations of pride. When you think other people are stupid. You know, there's some problem in this generation. They think they are smart because they have AI. Let me tell you, AI means one thing, two things. Artificial intelligence and artificial idiocy. Both of them. The other day, Junior Israel asked, who's Pastor Banky's wife? They said, it's one in cage. Was that not what they said that day? Was it ChatGPT you asked, or Meta AI? ChatGPT. We were just playing. So he typed again. He said, no, you are wrong. That's not Pastor Banky. He said, oh, no, it's Chia Maka. That's where Judah said, no. I said, Pastor, he wrote my name. He said, oh, okay, sorry. So everything I've told you is a lie. One day I asked ChatGPT for this thing. He said something that says it's a lie. I said, that's not correct. He said, sorry, okay, it's true. This is not correct. But the correct answer is this. I said, no, this one again is wrong. He said, I'm sorry, everything I've told you so far has been accurate. He gave me another answer. It take me three. That's what I call machine learning. It's true. Robot. Some people think because they have artificial intelligence, which is also called idiocy. All right? They know things more than people of those days. In case you don't know, people those days were more credible with their memory. Yeah, they were. And they had sense. You tell me that they did not drown in the Red Sea. That was even standard in theological schools. That Moses did not divide the Red Sea. The sea was not red, it was reed. It's a sea where reed grows. So the water is actually shallow at certain times. So when they came at that time, the water became shallow, and then they walked across. So one man said, that's interesting. So how did the Egyptians drown? Egyptians drowned in shallow sea. Thank you. It's a greater miracle. How you drown all the Egyptian army in a shallow sea. Now, what am I saying? When you believe such things, you are sowing seeds. Inability to believe for miracles. That's the seed you are sowing. Even though you see, people there were not stupid. You didn't hear that when the Israelites got to the promised land, part of the problem was that the news about what happened in Egypt had traveled ahead of them. Why do you think Balak went to hire Balaam? He said, they have come. I've heard the news of these people. But people just go around and say, no, it did not happen. You know what you are doing? You are sowing negative seeds. You are sowing negative seeds. Scripture says something. The Bible says, you say no. And then you'll be reading people who talk nonsense. They'll be undermining. I have a classmate who says he doesn't believe in God. Christian, when he sees some miracles that maybe Pastor Yadibu will say something, you get the clip and post it on our class group. And start laughing. Say, this pastor's there. Look at this nonsense. And I say, Bishop, what do you think? I always answer him. I say, stay your lane. I say, how can me and you be discussing miracle? You don't believe in Jesus Christ? I'd never argue about it. I say, you think it's on miracles our discussion will start? You don't believe in Jesus Christ? You don't believe in the God? I said, the people you believe, you follow, is Dawkins and Hitchens, who say there is no God, and that we came out of nothing, and became a member. And then one day a member grew up and became Paramecium. Paramecium decided to become a toad one day, after a long time of trying. It took him like 50 million years and became toad. And then one day the toad said, tired of water, it came out and lost his tail, and then acquired this, then grew up one day, and suddenly realized that he could walk. I can walk. I can walk. Thank Jesus. I can walk. That's the toad. And all of this happened for no reason. I said, that's what you believe. So me and you will not be discussing miracles testified to by Pastor E. Adeboye. We have no basis for conversation. I said, it's not whether it's true or false. It's that there is no basis. You are speaking Swahili. I'm speaking Spanish. How do we communicate? Let's leave that matter. People are following those who, look, this really happened. I read the story. In fact, what happened? Now, I think I should tell the story again. I've used it to illustrate here before. There's this lady, where there's this chat group that a colleague of mine put me in. He's a devout Catholic. I think I'm the only non-Catholic there, where I suppose, I just assume because of the way other people talk. Okay, it's not very active. Just his friends. So, of course, they have some rules. Basically, they discuss matters of faith. So one day, somebody posted something there about a lady. Now, listen to this story. This lady is a journalist, an investigative journalist. So she was following pastors around to try and document that their miracles were fake. Okay? So, make a long story short, that's the job she was doing, following preachers here. See, let God take care of himself. Oh. Let God take care of himself. You know, they want to prove that they are fake. This kind of thing. One of our brothers, it's not a bishop, self. He said that they wanted to start arresting pastors who do fake miracles. Now I tell him, I say, are you okay? Is that your job? Your job is go and preach. Angels will harvest those guys later. The time of harvest, God knows how to handle them. Because if before you know what's happening, you will go and take the wheat and the tares and I'll put both of them. I said, let's leave them. This lady decided to be doing that. Then she woke up one day, had a pain in her stomach. She went to the hospital. They told her she had, I'm making the long story short, she had advanced gallbladder cancer. That advanced, no treatment possible, nothing. So she was writing. Now, she's a devout Catholic. She was writing. She's a journalist. So she's sick, terminal, she's going to die. So she was writing on how she knows people will say that it is because she went around attacking faith healers. But she's okay. She has submitted to the will of God. And that's where the issue is. So I now asked a question. I challenged the person. So I said, please, what does she mean? So the one guy took it upon himself to explain how in the will of God, anything that comes, we just rest in God's hands. Then blah, 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 blah. He finished. Now, you know, sorry, I don't mean any disrespect, okay? But, you know, most people there are not Bible students. So some of the things I said there, I never thought about it. So I asked a simple question. I said, if the will of God was automatic, why is it a prayer point? Everybody is a Catholic. They all know the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What's the next line? Thy kingdom come. Then what's the next line? Thy will be done. I said, why is it a prayer point? I said, this woman is telling us that she knows it's God's will. I said, how does she know? I didn't say she should believe God for healing. No, I didn't say that. I said, at least, the least you can do is go to God and ask, is this your will or it is not? I challenged them to show me one person that was sick, that came to Jesus, that was not healed. I challenged everybody. I didn't argue like, she's wrong. No, I said, let's see it now. We all here, we believe the Bible, don't we? I said, mention one person. I said, think about it. If this lady had gone to Jesus when he was walking the streets of Jerusalem, of Judea, I said, what would have happened? The guy, he said, Vanki, you've given us a lot of things to think about. I said, good. Better go and think about it. I told them, I said, this girl is going to die and will never know whether it's the will of God or not. Because she did not bother to find out. I'm telling her story. You ask my opinion. Is it because she was undermining faith? I strongly believe that was the cause of her problems. She made up her mind for no reason that God does not do miracles. And anybody that says God works a miracle is lying. I said, no problem. Be it unto you according to your faith. See, don't joke with testimonies. It's unfortunate a lot of people lie. Some people don't tell the full story. Some tell us testimonies that are incomplete, so they've created a lot of, suspicion and doubt in our hearts. May God forgive them. However, there are credible testimonies everywhere. Oh, there are. Till today. What am I saying? See, what Satan wants, what the world wants, is for you to settle for less. Like we said last time, we will not agree. If we are not going to settle for less, how do we achieve it? It's simple. See, there's no alternative to praying. Paul said, be devoted to prayer. There's a reason why he said it. Because the man didn't have faith. He said, if you can do anything, help me. Faith is required. So Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. What did he say? Lord, I believe. But what? Help my unbelief. The man understood that his unbelief needed to be helped. Faith comes by hearing. Like I said, what you need is to see. Once you see in the scriptures, faith comes automatically. Why don't we see? Inattention. Why don't we see? Distractions. The world gives us other things to see. They give us all the explanations for why there is sickness. And the explanation is so plenty. We see it. I see. You're overweight. I see. Your father died at the age of 61. I see. You are genetically predisposed because of BRCA1 gene mutation. I see. You're an African. I see. When they finish, be it unto you according to your seeing. Now be going there and telling us all kinds of things. There was some video they showed them. I'm watching. I saw it on my wife's phone. I've not done it onto my phone, even though we're in the same group. They say exercise is good, and I believe it. This woman is 70 something. I hear 70 something. She started boxing. She's working out. Say, exercise. Why she's like this in my mind? No, you're not like this because of exercise. You're like this because God gave you health to exercise. If you sick, get up from that hospital bed. May I see? Ever somebody in coma, wake up to go and jog. No, people don't know where things start from. Exercise is good, amen? I think it's good. Alright? It is very good, amen? But if that woman is like that because she exercised, she said she started as an old person, so she didn't sick at 50. Her mates were sick at 65. They couldn't walk again. They need knee replacement. There are knees that you can't use to exercise. Once you start, you'll be hearing crack. Yes, if you have a bad case of osteoarthritis, you can't even leave your room. Exercise. I'm not saying exercise is bad, though. Did I say it's bad? It's not the key. Don't let the world focus your attention on physical things as a source of health. No. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. For children of God, life comes from what? The word. So what are you supposed to see? Be reading your Bible. Like Enrique said, he told that when he's getting older, he start forgetting. So he said he was getting ready for it. Then one day he was reading his Bible. And he heard Jesus telling a parable. He said, son, remember. And he was saying to people, that Abraham was telling the man in hell. And Lazarus was there in Abraham's bosom. And he said, son, remember. He said he stopped. Remember. Hey, these people are dead, they can remember. So it means you don't remember with your brain. He said, is that so? So memory lies somewhere else. The man said, I will not forget. That revelation alone, that's it. No, he saw. Have I gotten my point?
He saw.
That is somebody was saying that, you know, as we are getting older, age be catching up with us. I said, the other day I brought, you know, there's this exercise equipment I have in the house. I told my children, all these boys, all the muscle they have, press it. They struggled. They saw that this guy was stronger than all of them. I told my wife, I said, this is the strongest I've been in my life. And that was not a joke. Until that week, that thing, I couldn't bend it. But I've been doing it too bad. When I just said, let me shift my hand to the difficult area, bam, I gave the thing a bend. I called my boys, try. They went, I said, there's a reason why I'm that deep. There's a reason. I said, if you go and try. Why? Because in the scripture, Psalm 92, mark the righteous man. Even if he's old, he'll still be full of what? Sap. So that old woman is not healthy because she said she started when she was old. There are those that, look, you don't know what they call sickness. You don't know it. Look, there are sicknesses I hear about. One of our brothers here, the neurosurgeon, we were talking one day. He said, that would be a brainstem stroke. I said, what did you say? Then it hit me. So what happened? He said, no, that one, you can't survive that one. I said, now, wow. Because you can't follow, you go here, get stroke in one bad place. Look, I just thank God. See, this life, we are not keeping ourselves alive. It's not a game of chance. Yeah. It's not, look, if I get brainstem stroke, it will straighten itself. Do you get my point? Why? The same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead will walk in that brainstem. That's it. That's what I want to believe. I mean, like, just say, hey, I'm telling you. See, you can't sow to the flesh and not reap corruption.
Yes, sir.
Let me say something to some of you that diet like crazy. This will sound funny to some people. You are sowing to the flesh. I know what I'm telling you. Hey, so we shouldn't diet. No. See, if I want to lose weight, are you getting my point? Nothing wrong with it. I reduce the food I eat. Is that not, maybe like now, I get better cloth where I don't sew. I can't add weight, then they are now too tight. I love the cloth more than the stomach. So I reduce it. Is that not good? No. Is it bad or good?
It's good.
So I'm not saying it's bad. But if every time you get to a restaurant, what are you looking for? I'm trying to check the grammage of cholesterol. How much alanine, D-alanine is there? The percentage of carbohydrate. I did do it like that. So why? Because you be talking. Why? Every time you have an explanation, everything in your life is inside that food. Because they look, this boy is sent to the flesh. This guy is sent to the flesh. One day you eat something bad to put in hospital for a while. You know, Joseph Prince said something one day. They said he read all of these things, diet, exercise. He said, so he now decided to start sowing to the flesh. And I didn't say that I'm the one that used the word sowing to the flesh. He said, sure, you would know that he was not fat before. He said, he's now lost weight on top of saying not fat before. He said he had never been sick that number of times in his life. The only time he fell sick in a short period. You see, God was not angry with the exercise or with the diet. You know what God was, what was happening? Is the sowing, the seed, the focus, the attention. My life, God has taken me through that again and again. It's so bad now that before I eat anything that supposedly has nutritional value, I take permission. You get my point? They say don't eat sugar. You should use what? Honey. Now, I don't observe that nonsense. See, some people don't like, look, people have told me I shouldn't put on the pulpit. It's rubbish. When I want to sow garri, it's against the will of God not to put sugar in garri. How can you say you are talking garri? That is not garri. Look, I don't have it. Look. You can't come and make my life bitter. You can't. I will not even agree with you. God forbid that a man should sow garri and there's no sugar. How bad is the economy? Is it a sin? Thank you. This man of God says it's a sin. Error. I agree with that one. And personally, I put sugar in it until it is sweet in my mouth.
Yes, sir.
The taste of the garri is in the soaking. It's in my mouth. Do you get my point? You can't put the appropriate amount of groundnut. No, how can you be using milk to sow garri? If you want to, you can put other things, but if there's no other things, just leave it the way I've said like this. The people say I shouldn't. Thank you. That's a balanced diet. I like, God, this guy has inspiration. It's a balanced diet. Garri with groundnuts and sugar. There are things you finish and you start worshiping, you won't know why. He said, don't eat sugar, it's bad for you. I keep on telling you, why are you solving problems you don't have? Or poor people telling me sugar is bad for them. How much sugar do you have? You know, people just get to go to America, take American problem and bring it to Africa. Can I just give you a small, I don't want to take myself off my message too much. But many times you are solving a problem you don't have. Americans say, Europeans also, all right? They say these things because they have a habit that needs to be curbed. It's a habit of excess. Gluttony. It's cultural gluttony. That they are fighting. Say, don't eat egg. It's not good for you. And you're asking the person, how many eggs have you seen? That, I'm not talking about eating, that you have sighted in the last 1 month. You are comparing yourself to people that they just fry only egg and eat and it's breakfast. You go buy agege bread, then put one egg, one. Now I'm telling us that you don't eat egg. When I hear that, I say, who gave you egg in the first place? My friend Claire. Nonsense. Poor people pretend like they are rich. Do you get my point? You have not eaten enough. And I remember when in school, I said they want to live fasted life. I said, have you seen Ken Hagen that living fasted life? People that are sick. I said, my people are very relaxed also. Oh, come on, relax yourself. Anyway, back to what I was saying. No one began that. Now, I've learned this since over time. There was a time they say I wanted to form a habit of eating some foods that I said were biblical. God was looking at me like, Vanky, are you normal? Are you okay? So, after I've fallen sick here and there from eating things that are healthy, I relaxed my soul. I started believing God for health. I started eating what he said before me without asking questions. If I don't like it, I don't. If I like it, I eat it. You know why I don't eat icing on cake? I don't like the taste. If I like it, I will eat icing on cake. I don't have a problem with it. Do you follow my point?
Yes, sir.
So one day, I now send now honey. You know, they say, use honey. I can't get honey for house. So I wanted to put honey in my... I made cocoa in the morning, no Milo and stuff like that. I wanted to put... I kind of like to pour. Then I realized that God was looking. So I dropped it. I looked, I said, Lord, it's not the health. It's not about health. Yeah. I prayed. I said, Lord, it's not about health. Actually, it's a feel. It has a smooth. I explained that that's why I want to use honey. I'm not looking for health in honey. Honey is just good because it is honey. I'm not looking for long life or this thing in it. I hope it's okay. I can imagine everybody in heaven laughing at me. Yeah, I did that because, you see, I don't want trouble for my... You know, I've been telling people, me, I fear God. Those who don't fear God, I don't know what to fear. Because I know that if God sees me looking at honey as a source of health, just that one demon, every time you walk for that house, laughed. He said, we have checked. You surrendered with the hedge roundabout. He said, okay. I removed the one in Banky's stomach. So give the guy 4 days of diarrhea. You will eat honey. You won't go to work. You will stool and stool and stool. They say, what happened? You have honey intolerance. You wouldn't know it existed until you ate your own. See, if I give you an encyclopedia of medical conditions, you just go and buy a casket, lie inside, say, cover me, bury me, because there's no need to live. I've been a doctor since 1991. I've been a specialist in 1999. I still learn of diseases, and I'm shocked they exist. Like, you mean this exists? How have you been surviving? I said, how have you been surviving? So the more I learn now, the more careless I become. Because I realize that I can't navigate this life by myself. I can't. I know I found out I cannot navigate this life by myself. Being honest with you, any diet they propose, I first do the opposite. And you know the truth, they keep on lying to us. There was a time they said, if you eat carbohydrates. No, how did they say it now? There's a time they say, don't eat fat. Don't eat fat. It's bad for you. Now, we found out. If you don't, you tend to add weight. Yeah, you don't eat fat. You add weight. Yeah, I'm happy you don't understand. The human body is so complex. They'll keep on discovering. Okay, you want to know why? If you don't eat fat, you eat more. God gave fat to make you stop eating. Fat has the highest satiety index. If you cook food, no oil in it, you will eat until you almost pass out. You won't be full. A little bit of oil, your stomach sends the oil and it says it's okay. Yeah, that's it. You know that thing I was telling you, you've heard me say for years. One research, I saw the report recently, that the keys to health when you are growing older, you know what they said? Try and add some weight. I said, those who have heard me long enough, I'm happy they heard it. Research has now proven what I've been saying for a long time. That please, looking like a scarecrow is not the key to eternal life. They've now found out that a key, all right, research. So as you are growing older, they say, please put on some weight. I started laughing. I said, is this not what I've been saying for a long time? The point is that this life is so complex. The things they say you should not. I've told you this before. Do you know, people, they say use a multivitamin and all of that, you know, to supplement that. It's been shown from research. If you are not sick, you are not proven to have multivitamin vitamin deficiency, and you start be chopping extra vitamin, you increase your chances of getting cancer. Yeah, fact. I've not told you anything that's not true. So now the current teaching is please leave multivitamin supplementation alone unless you are sick. What I mean by sick, like there has to be a reason. The woman is pregnant, yes. A baby is growing. These babies are very, very aggressive when it comes to sucking from their mother. So you give the mother extra. Somebody has been sick, has been in hospital for days, has not been eating well, is recovering, give the person. Or you investigated, you did tests and found that the fellow is deficient in this and this, supplement those ones. But the reckless swallowing of things have been shown overall to hurt more than help. I've said all of this to let you know that you don't have no choice but to read the scriptures. When the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, that is how a man shall live. Believe it. Believe it. Read the scriptures. Use it to create expectation for your life. And don't settle for less. We discussed that last time. Don't settle for less. Now, what do you do? Yeah, that's what I want to talk about today. What do you do? How do you do it? When you say you won't settle for less, you want to use Ogboju to stay healthy? You can't. You can't use your own energy to stay healthy. Go and read Ezekiel chapter 1 into chapter 2, first part of chapter 2, first verse. He said to me, son of man, stand to your feet that I may speak to you. He said, when I heard him speak, what happened? The Spirit entered into me and did what? Set me on my feet. His health is talking about that. We can apply it. It's the entrance of the Spirit that puts you on your feet. It's not determination. No. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not how you have tried. Is the Spirit of health entering you or it's not entering? How did the Spirit enter him? When I heard him speak to me. Let's open to it. Ezekiel chapter 2. It was when I heard him speak. That was when the Spirit entered into me. It was when I heard him speak. I always like to back up to the latter part of chapter 1. We won't read everything. But he saw a glorious sight that took away his energy. In verse 28, he says, as the appearance of the rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the surrounding radiance at the vision he was seeing. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face and heard a voice speaking. Notice that. I fell on my face and I heard someone's voice speaking to me. What did the voice say? Son of man, stand on your feet that I may speak with you. As he spoke to me, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet. And I heard him speaking to me. Did you notice that? As he spoke to me, what happened? The Spirit entered me and set me on my feet. One of our brothers once is a doctor. He had Lassa fever. You know what they call Lassa fever? Now, Lassa fever has a funny behavior. It kills some people, not too many. I mean, It kills people. I hope you know it kills people. All right? Uh-huh. Now, when I say funny behavior, it likes to kill health workers more than normal people. There's a reason for it, actually. All right? It's because when people get a small dose of the virus, all right, from wherever they get it from, and the virus takes time to build. As viral is building, your immunity is also building, so the fight goes on for some time, and they win a lot. But when they are sick and they come to hospital, they carry the heavy dose and sneeze it in the doctor's face. In the nurse, there's one, this happened, let me not mention where, but one of the teaching hospitals around here, not in Enugu. In a few days, about 3 doctors and 2 nurses died. That's a fever. Yeah. And they were all patients, the consultant, I think it's regional registrar, house officer, 2 nurses, some that attended to 1 patient. They operated the patient for certain reasons. And they all fell sick. Many people fell sick, but these 5 died. Yeah, it really happened. And, I mean, this was about 4-5 years ago. But this is our brother anyway. He had Lassa fever. So they brought him to UNTH, put him in intensive care, isolated him, and we're treating him, of course. Say, doctor, they gave him everything they could. He told me that he survived, you know, because he told me. The major problem they had was that they could not keep his blood pressure up. The blood pressure was perpetually too low. They did everything that was in the books, gave him all the drugs available, but this guy just wouldn't get well. He was teetering on the edge of death. Then his cousin came to see him. He brought a message, a tape player, and loaded a lot, I think SD card, put messages in it, and told him to be listening. And the guy was listening to messages day and night. He's in UNTH intensive care, listening to messages every time. He said that one day, of course, his own case was bad. His skin had peeled, his back had peeled. He had bleed, because it's what they call hemorrhagic disease. So he has bled into the skin different places. He has sores everywhere, especially on his back. He kept on listening to the word. I said, it's the spirit that enters. So one day he called, I think he told the doctor or the nurse that I'm going home on Friday. They almost started laughing. He said, I'm going home on Friday. This was like Tuesday or Wednesday. He said, I'm going home on Friday. They're like, doc, I don't think you realize how sick you are. You're not going anywhere in a long time. Just told him like that, he's going home on Friday. And the nurse told him, look, doc, but if you see the kind of sores on your back, we have to nurse you. And there's no way, we're not going anywhere in a hurry. I think he said this on Tuesday or Wednesday. On Thursday, the nurse came to dress his wound, turn him over, and screamed. Pew! The sore was gone.
Glory to Jesus.
Somebody I know very well, some of you know who I'm talking about. Look, the sore was gone totally. He said, the nurse screamed. Let's make a long story short. On Friday, they discharged him.
Hallelujah.
He told us, I told you guys I'm going home on Friday. His cousin just put a player there with an SD card inside, loaded with messages. The guy was feeding on the word day and night. Faith was entering, and the spirit stood him on his feet. Some people are very wicked. You know they're wicked. I was like, so why didn't you even come and give us this testimony? One day here and I said, we're just telling me stories. I said, that was how we discovered Kingdom Word. They just give him messages. Why didn't you tell this testimony? Is he a man of faith? I don't know. What just happened was that the spirit did what?
Entered.
As he was hearing the word speak to him. As the Lord was speaking to him, the spirit was entering into him. And that spirit set him on his feet. You can't be sowing seeds of unbelief and you expect a miracle. See, as a culture, you have to show respect for the word of God. As I said, you have to show respect for the word of God as a culture. Just know that this is life. That this is life. See, in him was life. The life was the light of men. I was talking about the word that became flesh. In him is life. When you handle the scriptures, show respect. I want to see you. Say when? Tomorrow by 5. Say, I'll be in church. Can you see me for 5 minutes? I can't come out. Go ahead in Mark chapter 4. Amplify Bible. Let's open to it. You see, the amount of thought and study you give to the word that you hear. Amplify Classic. That is what will determine the amount of virtue that is released to you. He said, be careful how you listen. So let me read from the Amplified Bible. I'm just open to it. From verse 24. So let's start from 23. Let me just take a small reading for 21. All right? First of all, I'll read from, let me just use New American Standard to read from 21. And it was saying to them, a lamb is not brought to be put under a basket, is it? Or under a bed? Is it not brought to be put on the lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be revealed. Nor has anything been secret, but that it will come to light. Now this is where I was going, verse 23. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Now please, did you notice that? If anyone has ears to hear, what should he do? What does that tell you? Carry your ears and use it. I don't know whether you're getting my point. If you have ears to hear, then carry the ears and go and do what? Hear. If you have ears, use it. That's the point he's making. He wasn't saying that, say, as I'm talking, all of you are hearing. No, that's not what he means. He means that, do you have ears? You say, yes, sir. Come. There's a place where the word is coming from. Come and use it. Do you get my point? He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying, what? To the churches. Yes, churches, plural. Now, this is the point. There were seven churches that was being written to. To the angel of the church of Pergamon, right? Ephesus, you know, Thyatira, Laodicea, you know, Sardis, you know, all of them. Then he now says to the man in the church in Sardis, if you have an ear, go and hear what the Spirit is saying to what? All the churches. So you will not only hear what you were told, you will travel to the next church and say, good morning, sir. Where is the letter they sent to you people? Do you get what I'm trying to say? That's what it means, that he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Because he didn't write to all the churches, I mean that to each church, everything. Each church had his own letter. Each church had his own, you know, issues. They now said that, look, if you are in the church in Smyrna, hear your own letter, because they used to read it openly. When you are finished, take a break and go to Sardis. Leave there, go to Thyatira, go to Ephesus and say, please, can you guys read for us what is in your own letter? And it is not a communal thing, it's an individual thing. He that has an ear, it is one person. Let him take time out to travel to seven churches and hear what the Spirit is saying. It's a matter of personal discipline. That's how you sow the right seeds for the manifestation of divine health in your life. So Jesus said here, if anyone has ears to hear, let him engage these ears and hear something. Why am I saying it? He said, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given to you besides. Now let's do that in the Amplified version, verse 24. And he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. Let me stop reading there. That is, the attitude you have to the word is what determines whether it will release power for you or it will not. It's the attitude. It's the attitude. It's the attitude you have to the word that will decide whether it will release power or it will not. Create a culture of honor and regard for the scriptures. Create a culture that is, buy a book, read it. Download a book, read it. Go and listen to a message. Take time out. You know, the world is upside down. What do I mean? You know, African man, could it be like, say, be on your book? He will save for holiday. And then, when I travel and exercise himself, oh, by the time you come back from holiday, you are tired. How does that make sense? Because the inconvenience of the journey is abundant. The same person will not take a fraction of that money to travel to Abakiliki here because he heard that one man is coming to teach the word of God for a week. You know, I saw a lineup. You know, Pastor Corey is doing something now this whole week. No, not I think starting from next week in Sokoto, they have a young people's program, relationship some seminar, and he loaded it. Akinlo has one pastor in New York. He's preaching there for a number of days. There's this pastor, Temilolua, you know him. He's been there for a number of days. So they're having 8 days. You know those people, they can go to church. 8 days, morning and evening. No, not every day. Evenings, every day. And then 2 mornings. So I was listening. And I was thinking. And I said, if one young man come meet him, Papa, and I say, give me money, I want to go for this. He said, what does he want to do with it? But if he says that, Father said, oh, you did very well in school. I'll give you go to London for 2 weeks. Everybody say, oh, nice. Is that not so? Who do you respect the father that gives a child who does well in school money to go for holiday in London for 2 weeks? But if I give my son money to go for that program in Sokoto for 2 weeks and stay with him, say, you know, it's dangerous. You know, you're going to the north. You know, like, can't he get the tapes? Why can't you watch National Geographic to see what is going on in London too? It is the tape you want. When is the scriptures? Now is the tape you want. Me, I believe you can also watch National Geographic and enjoy the ski. You can climb Mount Everest with them in Discovery Channel. You will reach the top. And you know what? You won't die. Some people climb it and they die. There's one man, they found his body after 20 years of his dying there. He climbed 20 years ago. Ice covered him, buried him and his friends. They finally found his fresh body last week. You know, if you die on the Himalayas, you ain't going to decay. 1,000 years later, they will still find you, still be there. Now, where am I going? You see our sense of what? Value. Because you see, if you would show me that you value these things, power will come. It's not about intellectual understanding. You have to understand, I said something towards the first day here, that what we are doing is what? Aligning. The spirit wants to know, he just wants to flow. He wants to be given space to flow. See, if you are very intelligent, you have a first class in aeronautical dynamics and metal strength in extreme temperature analysis, whatever that is. Or you didn't go to school, you're a carpenter. Very poorly trained, just hammer one carpet, one wood to another. Are you getting my point? When the word comes, you have access to the same amount of faith. Your scientific ability to analyze does not in any way confine your advantage upon you. When we're young, there's a story of one woman in Ekiti there. That woman had faith, illiterate rice farmer. The faith was, the man telling us the story is a man we tremble when we hear his own faith escapades. Yet the man was telling stories that humbled him. This woman was totally illiterate, couldn't read, couldn't write. They came and they carried all of them to church after giving their life to Christ. Somebody now said to them that the name of Jesus is the most powerful name and it can do everything. That's what the woman heard. The spirit of faith entered into her. She went back to her village and was causing trouble with her faith. There was nothing she did, woman didn't use faith to do. I think her daughter-in-law was having problem in labor. They came and told her. They told her everything that was wrong. She said, but that the name of Jesus does everything now. There's a way they described it. I can't remember, for this has been long ago. That thing will go away and the baby will be born normally and the woman will be fine. Exactly what she said happened. And this woman couldn't read, couldn't write. She knew only one thing. They said the name of Jesus does everything. The one that was most dramatic, that the villagers came to testify. She was not the one that told the story. It's the other people around that told the story. You know what they call weaver birds? They are the pest of rice. They will eat your rice and finish your rice. So the people used to do all kinds of charms, everything, to methods to try and make the birds go away. So they came to her to contribute money. So they come and do their things. And she said that she cannot, that she's a Christian. And that she had learned that the name of Jesus does everything anyway. So what they are doing is nothing. That they shouldn't worry that in the name of Jesus, birds, weaver birds, will not attack her fields. They should leave that. The villagers testified, not her, that assuming her plot is plot B, the birds will feed on plot A, get to plot B, fly over plot B, fly to C, go to D, then fly back to A. They didn't see these birds perch on her own field. This woman doesn't know all this, the Greek word, the original Hebrew, and the Septuagint translation of the Hebrew as expressed in the Greek. He had no idea. She just knew that they told her that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, even weaver birds must bow. What am I saying? It's not about intellectual acquaintance. It's about flow of what? The Spirit. If the Spirit enters into you, it sets you on your feet. That our brother. I mean, the brother here. I told that story. I said, he said, I told the doctor and the nurse, I'm going home on Friday. And they were laughing. The nurse came to dress his wound on Thursday and she shouted. I mean, imagine you were there yesterday to dress a wound. You saw an open sore that you have to dress with a lot of care. He came next day and the skin was perfectly intact. And the person testified is the doctor himself. So it's not as if somebody is a doctor. I did tell the story that faith entered him. It wasn't as if, you know, let me tell you something there. We have a lot of steps of faith. Take the first step. Oh, begin to take the second step. Oh, faith has not yet entered. When it will have entered, who told the Roman centurion, when you get there, tell the Lord, Lord, I am not worthy to come into you. Checking what they told him. Is that what he did? Just spoke naturally. Who told the Syrophoenician woman, when you get there, you know, when he'll call you a dog, right? He'll call your daughter a dog. Don't be offended. Don't be offended. Then, just hold this paper. Hold this paper. Master, even the dogs eat from the crumbs. Did he say that? What am I going to say? She wasn't practicing anything. What happened? Faith had entered. It's called the spirit of faith. It's called faith by the Spirit. When it entered, it erupted from her mouth. She didn't try. I hope you're getting my point. What am I talking about? Feed your faith. Whatever God has said is final, though. Let's start again. He said, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. Everybody say after me, say, that is the will of God.
Concerning me.
That's it. Now, listen. He's not saying by what you have experienced. He's saying this is the will of God. He said, himself took your infirmities and your diseases. And by his stripes, you have been healed. Everybody say, that is the will of God.
Concerning me.
Say, by his stripes,
I have been healed.
Say, every affliction is oppression.
And Jesus came
to destroy oppression in my life. Now, let me say something to you. When you speak like this, you are aligning for the flow of what? The Spirit. See, there's no trick. Oh my God, I pray we understand this. One problem, I was talking to one pastor one day. We're talking about another pastor, a particular man's teachings. You know, I said, there's something he doesn't enjoy about the person teaching on faith. He said, it's too mechanical. I had to agree with him. Five steps. So, you say this, then you say this, you wake up at five, and say this, and wake up at seven, you say it again. You know, sometimes I look at this faith, I said, nobody taught Abraham this one that you are doing. Nobody taught the Syrophoenician woman this one that you are doing. If you are going to do any of those things, let them be fight against your unbelief. They don't produce faith in you. They don't. Only one thing produces faith. What is what? The word. He said what? Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
It comes by hearing and hearing. It's a particular phrase, hearing and hearing. Faith comes by paying attention to the word like you would pay attention to instructions on a medicine. You know, like if you buy a pack of medicine and you want to know how to take it. You know, you take the instruction leaflet and you read it in details. That's what they call hearing and hearing. Hearing and hearing is not the number of times you hear. It is the attitude with which you hear. I hope you heard what I said. Hearing is not the number of times you heard. It is the attitude with which you are hearing. Hearing and hearing, there are two types of hearing. There is hearer only. He hears once. What does that mean? In spiritual things, to hear once means that you hear, it didn't soak in. You didn't open your heart fully to it. You heard for the sake of information, not for the sake of assimilation and, you know, and following. Do you get my point? For example, now, when I hear football, that is hearer only. I don't care whether England lost to Spain or Spain won against England. You know, it doesn't concern me. No matter what you say about how to win a match, it doesn't soak in my heart. It's called hearer only. It's entertainment for me. Even if I like football, it's entertainment for me. It's nothing. It really doesn't... But do you know there are people who will sit down. They want to know everything that one team did wrong, what the other one did right. They want to know everything. And then they will apply it in the next game. Because they are football coaches. They sit down and say, well, these guys use a formation. 4-4-2. We are going to say the one that make everybody laugh at me now. He said, you see, when you have attackers on this side, you can't use 4-4-2. You have to use 4-3-3. Or you shoot 4-2-4. You know, that kind of thing. And they are watching the match. They are not watching the way you are watching them. No. So the ones they call hearing. They are watching and watching. Do you get my point? But the rest of it, you are a watcher only. Are you getting my point? Those who come to church to get entertained, they are hearers only. You come to church to get entertained. Now, so you understand what I mean by hearer only now? All right? So hearing, sometimes the faith comes by hearing and hearing. It is not faith comes by hearing, and the hearing comes by the word. No. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. Once he has spoken, twice I've heard it. Verily, verily, I say unto you. In the Bible, spoken twice, emphasis. Once it's spoken twice, it is what? Emphasis. So what was the Lord saying? What was Paul saying there? That there are those who take the scriptures and they go into it to find out what the Lord is saying to them. And when they discover it, they walk by it. Do you follow my point? So when you attack the scripture with that attitude, you are called a hearing hearer. Do you get the logic here? Alright? So it's an attitude with which you listen. If you approach the scriptures with that attitude, faith enters it into you. The actions will come out automatically. I hope you're getting my point. With little prompting or no prompting at all, you will know what is right to do. Do you follow what I'm saying? You get the testimony of a woman I went to minister somewhere. She said she woke up one day and she had pain in her foot. It was really bad, so she went to the hospital to go and see the doctor. So the doctor told her all kinds of stories. Anyway, she had a form of arthritis, as far as the doctor was concerned. She told me that. I finished preaching, all right? So they were just giving me testimony at the end, you know, how the word has worked in their lives, right? How they follow scriptures. And then the woman said that, she went home and reasoned about it, that if something has said to her, if you start this meeting, you're never going to stop. And of course, by the way, some of those painkillers, A lot of them. They are very bad for the kidneys. They are not things you want to start when you are young. And this woman was probably in her early 40s, mid 40s at most. So she reasoned and said, Kai, if I start this, I will never stop. So she got up and went for a retreat to go and hear. She went with her Bible. She went to one retreat center in Ogun State and booked a room to come and study scriptures. In that place, they come out every evening to have fellowship. So that day she got there, she joined the service. And a man ministering just gave a word of knowledge. That somebody is here, you have a pain in this particular side of your foot, the Lord said, you are healed. She came for 3 days. She did that 3 days. Finished her scriptures and everything. And this is the funny thing. When she finished that day, the service, she still did her 3 days. She just studied the scriptures. By the time she left the place, you know, the pain in the foot was still there. See, I said, don't let anything change your mind. What did I say? No. The pain in the foot was still there. But she left the place, said, God has heard me, and she went back. She said, I think it was a few days later. She suddenly stopped. Said, hey, I used to have a pain in this foot. And she couldn't remember. She didn't know the time he left. She just stopped one day. Wait, oh. Ah, I was limping a few days ago. What happened? The pain was totally gone. She told me that the thing came back some weeks or months later. She did the same thing again. Now, this time she didn't travel. She just took the scriptures and read the word of God over the pain. Again, it vanished. And then by the time she was telling me, she said, I had not come back since that time. She told me another thing which I won't forget. She said, sir, in my whole family, my father, my mother, and three or four siblings, I'm the only person that's not hypertensive. So we say the family tendency, her father had it, her mother had it. All her siblings are on hypertensive drugs. All of them. And her parents. So I'm the only one that's not hypertensive. He said, if I ever check my blood pressure and it's up, I go to go and pray. And I ask God, what is on my mind? What is disturbing me? And the Holy Spirit will help her identify it. She will release all her burdens to the Lord. Her blood pressure comes back to normal. That's it. The word works. How does faith come? By hearing and hearing. People of God, we have to feed our faith. We have to sow the seeds that produce divine manifestations of healing. As a habit, I've said before, please, first, go and take Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Let's start with that one. They were talking about practical things. Take Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and read, underline every testimony. Not only healing, every miracle. If they said they fed multitude with 5 loaves and 2 fish, drop the Bible, stand there, and worship. And say, Lord, I thank you. Because you are the one that multiplies bread for the multitude. You did it, I believe it. You know what you are doing? You are sowing a seed for a harvest of miracles in your life. If you see anything you see that he did that was miraculous, I like the way John said. John said, I've compiled this so that you will believe. Go and read John. Everything he said that happened. They turned water to wine. Thank the Lord for it. Some people were laughing at Pastor Adeboye that he said that God put fuel in his tank. Have you heard that story before? That he drove with empty tank and they said, is it one daddy something that was laughing at it as if. I said, there are things, if they make a joke of that, don't laugh. Even if it looks so superfluous, hard to believe, don't worry yourself. Just read it and say, Father, I thank you and continue your life. I hope you're getting my point.
Yes, sir.
You sow a seed. You sow a seed. You know the truth? God does things like that. Funny enough, many people he has done them for. You don't even know he did them for you. Because God is not just, he's not a showboat like this. He's not trying to show off. Sometimes you don't know your car is bad. There was a day I told the mother, I told our brother, Unduka, help me do something. I need to take some to Asaba. What he did not know, I did not know, was the car he went with, the spare tire was down. We did not know. Was that the only thing, self? Oh, I think they mistakenly didn't put the jack in the car. Just took the car and drove the people who were supposed to drive, drove them to Asaba for me. Exchange, it was supposed to, it was my sister-in-law and another person. Okay? Dropped them. Somebody was there to pick them up. So I turned back and drove back to my house and parked the car. And I came, I saw my tire was flat on the ground. So I said, what happened? He said, nothing happened. He parked the car was perfectly normal. There was nothing wrong with the car. As soon as he parked the car, the tire went down flat. That was when I realized that he didn't have a spare tire. I gave him moto. My car. I did not. See, I just like, if this car stopped anywhere, the amount of headache this man would have been in. So God said, look, this boy. He didn't tell me. He didn't tell him. He drove that car for like 4 hours. More than 4 hours. As soon as he parked the car, the tire went down. Now, he didn't go down small. He went down completely flat. That was when it dawned on me that this tire has been flat for a long time in the spirit. If you know what I'm going to say. One day, you just use finger to plug it. The guy got home. The angel removed his finger. The car went down. That was when I saw the complication that will have arisen. How many of you saw the gunshot that was taken at Donald Trump? Donald Trump said, I'm either here by God or by luck. So that is, if you know what happened, the young man took 5 shots. At least. So Donald Trump turned. When he heard the sound, he turned. As he turned like this to look in that direction, the bullet went like this. Phew! and peeled off the skin on his ear. Now, think about it. The head is like this, then the head turns this way. Which means if the head was still like this, this is where the bullet is passing through. There's something about that whole story I will tell later, not now. The civil service did not save his life. Sorry, the secret service, they didn't. He had already bent down by himself. What is not already jumping. They didn't save his life. He turned and the bullet went, peeled the skin off his ear. So if the head was still like this, the bullet would have passed through. See, believe in miracles. What did I say?
Believe in miracles.
Say it, I believe in miracles.
I believe in miracles.
Say it, I believe in miracles.
I believe in miracles.
Say it again.
I believe in miracles.
Say it again.
I believe in miracles.
Say it again.
I believe in miracles.
Be it unto you according to your faith.
Amen.
God will work a miracle in your life.
Amen.
It will deliver you from trouble.
Amen.
It will heal all your diseases.
Amen.
What doctor said was dead, he will wake it up again.
Amen.
You want to know the truth? Lazarus actually was raised by Jesus Christ. The raising of Lazarus is the most interesting of the miracles of Jesus. Do you know why? It was one that was done in response to a request, a direct request from the Father. All the other miracles were anointing. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he anointed me. That was how he raised the widow of Nain's son. That was how he healed the Syrophoenician woman's daughter. It's the anointing. In the case of Lazarus, it was a petition. It was not anointing. It was petition. This man is fully dead now. The anointing doesn't cover this one. Father, give me back Lazarus. See, something that people thought was irretrievably gone, God will give back to you. There are things he will do. People will know that only him could have done it. Say it again. Lord, I believe in miracles.
Lord, I believe in miracles.
Say it again.
Lord, I believe in miracles.
Say it again.
Lord,
I believe in miracles. One more time.
Lord,
I believe in miracles. Yes. Listen, you will have a testimony.
Amen.
Somebody listen to me. You will have a testimony.
Amen.
Like I said, let faith enter your heart. Let faith enter. I'm talking about practical things to do. Take the Bible, read. Anytime you see a miracle, give thanks and say, Lord, I believe it. I don't want any explanation. You took bread, you broke it, you gave thanks. And you continue to break the bread though. You took bread, you gave thanks, you continue to break the bread until thousands were fed. Say, Lord, I believe it. Yes. Any story you read, the reason why I recommended Catherine Kuhlman. There are many other books I could have recommended. Why I recommended this set is because of the verification they did before they compiled them. They are authentic miracles. Not just somebody came to give a testimony. When you read that, say, Lord, I believe it. You say, Lord, I believe it. You say, Lord, I believe it. You say, Lord, I believe all these miracles. It's a seed you are sowing in your life for the release of the power of God. Practical things you do, take the word of God and declare it around you. Please, I've told you, when you go to YouTube, click like, be liking preaching so that they'll be feeding it to you. Take this device in your hand instead of you to disturb when I'm preaching. Eh? I like the way, you know, there's one thing we do, we sell our SD cards, all right? Pack it with like 700 messages. Get an SD, good enough, you know, if you're in Kingdom World here, everything are free. Copy, just copy. Put in your message and let it be plain. Just tell us every day, I will listen to one message, complete. Not just tell, I will pay attention to it. Why? I want faith to fill my heart. I'm sowing a seed for miracles in my life. See, once the seed has been sown, when the germination and the manifestation and the fruit will come, even you'll be surprised. Yeah, you may have faith like this. It's not you, but the grace of God working with you. I hope you're getting my point.
Yes, sir.
Go and read the story of that woman with the issue of blood. When she heard of Jesus, it's what she heard that spoke through her. What she heard. Please go and get my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. And unfortunately, there's no paper copy. So you have to download it. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. All right? Just like, try and get used to it. All right? We don't have paper copies for many of these books. Forgive us. Is that okay? Please download the book and read. Great faith can be yours. Because actually, great faith can be yours. Every day, take a message and listen to it. As you are listening, it's not the intellectual information. It's what? The entrance of the Spirit. It's called faith by the Spirit. Everybody say, faith by the Spirit.
Faith by the Spirit.
That is my portion. Rise to your feet. Just give the Lord thanks. All right. Say, Lord, I receive faith. I want you to pray and receive faith by the Spirit. Say, Lord, help my unbelief. I receive faith by the Spirit. Just take time. Take a moment. 2-3 minutes. Say, faith by the Spirit. 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 I receive faith by the Spirit. Say, Lord, declare that we normally declare. Say, I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding, I am being filled with the knowledge of God's will. The will of God is that I prosper and be in health. I am being filled with the knowledge of that will. I see that Himself took my infirmities and my diseases. By His stripes, I have been healed. Remember we said, you speak to that Lazarus. Say, God has granted me health. So health, I speak to you. Come. Dead tissues, live again. Cancer cells, become normal in the name of Jesus. Become normal. I speak to my eyes, be normal. My nose, be normal. My throat, my teeth, be normal. With God, nothing shall be impossible. With God, I believe in miracles. Nothing shall be impossible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. I believe that old age is not a disease. Like we said, we don't give excuses for Satan. We are not giving excuses for whom? Lie. We are not giving excuses for Satan. We will not allow any excuse. We are not using our experience to describe the will of God. We are using the will of God to command experience. We are not using our experience to determine the will of God. But we are using the will, the word of God, to command the experience. Say, be it unto me according to your word. You need to say that several times. Say, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. Be it unto me according to your word. Be it unto me. Your word says that I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Be it unto me according to your word. That's part of the practical things you do to boost faith. You say, be it unto me according to the word of God. Be it unto the Spirit will enter into you and set you on your feet. The Spirit will enter into you and set you on your feet. The Spirit will enter into you and set you on your feet. Faith by the Spirit. Faith by the Spirit. Say it, I receive faith by the Spirit.